Haggai in chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 7. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God will add his blessings upon the reading of his precious word. As we normally do, we'll just quickly go through what we considered last week. We considered the review of his displeasure. The word consider means to examine ourselves, an introspection, that we examine closely or we fix our eyes. Secondly, it is to examine carefully, forcefully, something that we need to penetrate deep, go down deep into the matter to understand and to know the state. So consider is to not only examine closely, but it is to examine carefully. And thirdly, it is to examine completely, fully, thoroughly, from end to end. There is nothing that we should exclude from that. What God wants the people, his people, when they consider, is to consider themselves completely, closely, and very carefully. It is not just something that is a casual evaluation, but some serious soul-searching. Between the two considers in verse 5 and verse 7, God was saying that you consider on what is your state now. It is to evaluate and to understand that there is a connection between the negligence towards spiritual activity and the lack of success in our day-to-day life. When we have repeated failures in our life, we should be able to examine ourselves. Why is this happening to us? And we should be able to see if there is any connection of the state of affairs of our life being in distress because of the negligence of God and God's things in our life. When we should consider, Haggai said that they have to consider now in chapter 2, verse 15. It is now, this day, from this day upward, not just to be remorseful of what has happened in the past, but to look forward, that this day and upward, consider as what has happened to you in the past, and then you go to consider at what is going to happen to you from now onwards, if you will take a decision for him, if you will change your heart. Do we ever consider? Do we ever examine ourselves before we come for the Lord's Supper? Now that's a very important thing in our life. Is it a casual evaluation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are exhorted to examine before we break the bread and drink of the cup. So we are considering the displeasure of God, the four divisions of the displeasure of God. Firstly, it is the rebuke of his displeasure. And secondly, the reason of his displeasure. Thirdly, the review of his displeasure. And fourthly, the result of his displeasure. We saw from verse 6 to verse 11 is the result of God's displeasure. And we saw that we can divide this into two. Firstly, the disappointment of the people, verse 6, and the discipline of God from verse 8 to verse 11. And we saw that there were five disappointments in verse 6. Five disappointments. Firstly, you sow much, but bring in little. And we consider that is lack of fruitfulness. That's what we saw last week. And then secondly, you eat, but not enough. That's lack of satisfaction. Thirdly, we saw you drink, but not filled. That's lack of refreshing. Fourthly, you are clothed, but you're not warm. There's lack of warmth. And fifthly, you earn wages, but you're putting it in bag holes. So that's lack of resources. We considered the lack of fruitfulness last week. The fruitfulness does not only mean saving of souls, which of course is there. That's a very important part of fruitfulness. From Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the Christian qualities that we should have is also the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That is also a growth. That is also fruitfulness. And we considered as to how you could be fruitful. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 5, abide in me and I in you, and he shall bring forth much fruit. The secret of fruitfulness is to be abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ abiding in us. In other words, that's to be in a close fellowship with the Lord. And we also saw from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful if you abound in these things. And those things are mentioned in the earlier verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, which says, adding to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance and patience, and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. All these things are that which should add up in our lives. Adding one to another, it's not something that comes all of a sudden to us. It is something that we grow in our Christian maturity. And as we grow, these are those virtues or these qualities that should be increasingly found in our life. It should be increasingly found in our life as we grow in our Christian life. And how much can we increase? We saw that from the parable of the sower, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we considered the measure is up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we considered about sowing. You sow much and you bring in little. So we considered five aspects of sowing. First, plowing. It is to prepare the field. In the parable of the sower, what is the field? The field is the heart. Now, preparing our heart to receive the word. So I trust that before coming here today, your hearts are sufficiently plowed to receive the word. If our hearts are not plowed, the word cannot go into and bring forth fruit. So there is a plowing that is needed in our life. Secondly, we saw plucking. That plucking is to remove the thorns and the weeds that are there upon the ground. What does it mean? The thorns. The cares of the world. The cares of this world. Then, the riches. These are things that keeps this seed from growing in our life. These are things that prevents our fruitfulness in our Christian life. So, the cares of the world and the covetousness that we have for the things of this world, those are things that we need to remove from us. And thirdly, we saw that there has to be a preparation of the seed. What was reaped, the best of them are set apart so that it might be used for sowing in the next season. Look upon the word of God and store those precious truths. That has to be set aside so that when the time comes, when the doors of utterances are opened, those thoughts which has been stored in our life, the Spirit of God would be able to use it and apply it into the lives of God's people, into the lives of the people of this world, so that those seed might become fruitful in their lives. So we saw preparing of the seed. Then we looked at the fourth item, was planting the seed in the right place. You have plowed, you have plucked, you have prepared the seed. Does that mean that you can put it anywhere? When the disciples went for fishing and they didn't find anything, like they toiled all night, they were expert fishermen, they didn't find anything. The Lord told them, cast your nets on the right side. Cast the net in the right place. And they caught so much of fishes. So we need to also realize that the word has to be sown in the right place. Now when you see these farmers, when they sow the seed, you know, as they throw it, there is a way in which they sow it. And I've noticed that as it grows up a little, after a particular growth, they remove it and put it back. What do you call that? Transplanting it. They plant it back. Because earlier it was only thrown. It has not gone deep. So now, very soon that shoot comes up. And as the shoot comes up, now it needs to go deeper in order to bring forth fruit. So he would remove that and they would take it in a bunch. He would push that down inside. So there is a right manner in which you have to do. We need to also do it rightly. There is a manner in which God has given us in His Scripture as to how we need to sow the seed, and we need to do it in that manner. And then finally we saw that there has to be a pouring, watering with our tears. There has to be sufficient water in that field, and you need to pour that. And that's where our prayer matters. Apostle Paul says that the doors of utterances might be opened. Now pray that the doors of utterance might be opened. Pray that I might be given the utterance. He says that when I stand up or when I get the opportunity to speak, you pray that the Spirit of God would put the right word into my mouth. That the words that I speak, the right word to the right person. We need to pour our tears. That's what we see in Psalm 126. Sowing with tears, come back weeping with joy. There's a weeping that is needed. And if there is a weeping in our sowing, there definitely will be a rejoicing in our reaping. So that's the first thing that we saw. Ye sow and you bring in little. So the second disappointment was lack of satisfaction. Lack of satisfaction. Ye eat and you have not enough. Now firstly we look at what cannot satisfy us. Some of the few things that you see in Scripture that cannot satisfy us. Firstly, eating cannot satisfy us. That's Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6. No, you eat and you have not enough. Secondly, your earnings cannot satisfy. Thirdly, entertainment cannot satisfy us. Fourthly, extravagance cannot satisfy us. And fifthly, estates. That cannot satisfy us. We look at these five things very quickly. Eating. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Here is the wise man. And he looks at the life of the people. And he sees the labor of man is for his mouth. The external activity that we have in our life is most common activity is eating. The mouth is that which is doing the most of the work in our life. Think about it. Yeah, if you are speaking, some of those who are speaking, lecturers in college and teachers in school, yeah, it's too much. It's a mouth. Right? You go out, you speak to people, it's a mouth. And then you eat. How many times in a day? 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, some people, any number of times. You see, you keep eating. Right? So labor of man is for his mouth. That means for your belly. But what happens? Still, his appetite is not filled. I ate this morning, so okay, next 3 days I'm not going to eat. Yeah, does that happen? No. After some time, again, it comes. Again there is appetite. Again there is appetite. It never ends. When is it going to end? Then we end. Isn't it? The labor of man is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not filled. So eating is not going to satisfy men. If you look at those people, in my early days, that comes to my memory, as childhood days, unlike these days, if you want to see a fruit, you never see it in your house. I don't know about you, I am talking about myself. Right? And the maximum the fruit that you can have is a banana. No grapes, no apples, no oranges. These are not rare things, You have to fall sick to get an apple or an orange. And as a child, I've desired so many times, when my brother or somebody falls sick, then you take orange juice and give and feel, oh, why not I fall sick? If I was sick, you get apple, you get orange juice, you get all those things, grapes. I don't know, these days you give children an apple, they say, I don't want this. Those days you were looking out for a chance to even get a peel of an apple. But eating never satisfies you. When you have nothing, when you have a lack of eating, you think, at least if I have something to eat, if I have to eat 3 days, then that is sufficient for me, I will be satisfied. That's what people think. But as you begin to eat and you get more to eat, you realize that does not give us satisfaction. Secondly, your earnings, they don't give you satisfaction. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 8. There is none alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he that neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. What is he trying to say there? He's taking an example of a person who does not have any family members. He's talking about a situation where a person does not have child, no child, or no brother. Or in other words, there is no relationship upon this earth. There is no reason why he should be earning. He has already earned. Have you found anybody who has earned and says, okay, now this is enough, I'm not going to earn anymore? Barely or scarcely you can find a person. Here the wise man is saying that if even a person who does not have anybody to leave his property, to leave his earning, even he is not satisfied. So you earn, and you earn. That cannot give satisfaction. Sometimes you may think, I get a good job, I get into such a good place, then I'll be satisfied. And then after that I can look at all the priorities of my spiritual life. No, that's not going to work. Now again I'm going to go back to my childhood life. And don't laugh at this. When I was a young boy, my high school what did I desire to become? We all have, children. should become? Our children should become doctors, engineers, professors, all a great this thing, and the children are today bombarded with that right from class 1, class 2, or even kindergarten. We put our children into so much of tremendous pressure, they have to become something. No, I only decide to be a chaiwala. See, you're laughing. I told you don't laugh. You know, on the roadside, the chai guy and the guy who cleans that this thing and he puts it like that on the in the south, you see? That's one of my desire to become. That's all I decide to be. And there was one more thing I decided, you know, if not that, you know, a puncture wala. Cycle puncture, not even the car and motorcycle, you know, bicycle. You know, put that puncture, put that in the... You know, you get 50 paise. For a day's labor, you'll get 50 paise. And for 50 paise, I can buy 100 chocolate. Eh? Don't think it was my small desire. Now, when I compare myself to that, you're a great way off. Now, why I said that is, when I compare that desire or what I was longing for or what I thought about, you know, maybe me in my ignorance, but what I got and what I am now by the grace of God, that earning, in spite of that, it can be in many great proportions. It can never bring satisfaction. So your earnings can never bring satisfaction. That's what the wise man is saying there. Thirdly, entertainment cannot bring satisfaction. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What does that mean? In short, entertainment. Eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear is filled with hearing. This is just pure entertainment of this world. This is not going to satisfy. This is not going to fill us. I cannot be satisfied by seeing that. In today's world, it's become so very common, entertainment among God's people. Isn't it? Entertainment among God's people. It's just so casual. To see and to hear those things that in our times or in our forefathers' times were banned. They were banned at those days. And today it has become normal practice. Entertainment cannot satisfy us. Extravagance. Can that satisfy us? We know in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 13 to 14, that prodigal son, as we call him, he took all his thing and he went and wasted his substance with riotous living. Spending. You think by spending? By eating or drinking or, you know, spending money, living in luxury, you can have satisfaction? You cannot. We read about that in Luke's Gospel chapter 16 about that rich man. The house upon whom, on whose gate Lazarus was lying. He lived sumptuously. But he realized that those luxury in which he lived could never give satisfaction. He was in torment when he died. So, to spend, to live in luxury, that is nothing that those cannot bring satisfaction in our life. And fifthly, you see, the estates, or Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. So you think you can make a lot of wealth, and you can have lots of property, you can have lots of possession in this world, and that will give me satisfaction in life? That definitely is not going to bring satisfaction in our life. And this is being said by one who was one of the most wealthy person on the earth. Isn't it? So these things cannot bring satisfaction to our lives. But we indeed can be satisfied. God's people can definitely be satisfied. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 35. The Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. So, for satisfaction, firstly, he has to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can give us satisfaction. Right? So, if there's anyone here who has not yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me plead with you that no satisfaction can come into your life unless the Lord Jesus Christ is in your life. So that's the first step for satisfaction. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who? Hunger for? Righteousness. Now, if we feel that we are not satisfied in our life, then we need to see whether we are seeking after righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Right? If you look at the previous verses, what all is talking about? Eating, drinking, right? All these things will be added unto you. What you need to do? Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. So if we are not satisfied as believers, then we need to look into our lives and to see, are we seeking after his righteousness? Thirdly, Psalm 36 and verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink the rivers of thy pleasure. So here it is, abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. Now you should be having in the house of God abundance of fatness for the people of God to be satisfied. So it is not enough that I have it in my individual life. As an assembly, too, should be in abundance so that people will be able to come and eat of the fatness, of the richness of God's word, and apply that in their lives and be satisfied. Now, how much is that we can eat? How much can we eat? Here in Psalm 81 verse 10, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, why should you not be satisfied? The Lord says, you just open your mouth, right? I will fill it. I can only think of a bird, you know. You see that bird, they come and the chicks, they open their mouth and they keep on filling their mouth. The Lord says, open your mouth wide. How wide can we open? That much will be the filling. So he fills us. There is no lack in the supply that God has for us so that we might be satisfied. Now what does he satisfy our mouth with? Psalm 103 and verse 5. Who satisfy their mouth with good things. And what do you mean by good things? See Psalm 107 verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. With his goodness. Our God is a good God. He doesn't think about harm in our life. Even in his discipline, he doesn't think about harming us. He wants to fill us with his goodness. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. See, what kind of a satisfaction is that? Drought means there isn't much. No, you don't have. There is want there. And he says, even during such times in your life, when you are going through trials in your life, when you are going through pains in your life, then God is still able to satisfy our soul. Because all these things are, others are external factors. If your trust is upon those external factors, which we considered as things that cannot satisfy us, and instead if our heart is upon the Lord and upon His goodness, then no matter what happens in our life, our souls would be satisfied. That's the satisfaction which a person can have. How much can he fill us up? How much will he fill us up? Psalm 23 and verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That means more than the measure in which you can take or you can receive, God is able to pour into your life a life of absolute satisfaction. A life that is filled in all its fullness, and it overflows. And then in Psalm 17 verse 15, there we see about our satisfaction, our ultimate satisfaction. He is, as the psalmist says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's talking about resurrection. Ultimately, as we as believers, when we are resurrected or we are transfigured in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall see Him in His likeness. We shall see Him and we shall be like Him. That will be the ultimate satisfaction that we have. And then we read in Revelation chapter 7 verse 16 that in heaven there is no hunger. There shall be no hunger no more, neither thirst any more. That's the place that we are going to go. So in this world in which we live, the possibility of not being satisfied is there. But the scripture promises us that in spite of every situation that we are in our life, the Lord would be able to satisfy us upon this earth. So that verse goes in Haggai chapter 1 verse 6. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. So I'm looking at some matters of the spiritual food that we eat. What do we eat? Firstly, there has to be a feeding. Right? There has to be feeding in our life. It is not enough if you see the food. Is it enough if the food is prepared and it is kept before us and you look? Keep looking. Will that satisfy your hunger? It is not enough if you see the food. To be satisfied, we need to eat it. So you have to eat it. We need to feed on God's word. If you don't feed on God's word, our life cannot be a life of satisfaction. We need to feed on God's word. I know of a person, many years back, one of our believers, that sister was so very heavy. And she was going in for a surgery to remove the weight, you know. And when I met and spoke to her, she said that she eats nothing, really anything. She doesn't eat anything. And she told the doctor, I don't eat anything. So how am I putting on this weight? The doctor said that you don't need to really eat. You just see food, that is enough for you to put weight. And she says, yeah, it's so true. You know, I love food so much that I see, I crave for it, I don't eat it. But here, that's not going to happen. You need to feed on God's word. So this food that God gives us, there are special type of foods that is there. Right? In the food that we eat, there are different kinds of foods that we eat. So we want to look at some of those kinds of food that is there. Firstly, we see, read about sincere food, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's just a basic thing. You know, as you enter your Christian life, there are things that you read and you understand the basic matters in Scripture. That's the milk of God's word. But it's not enough. Apart from sincere food, we need to have solid food. The child grows up and after they are 3 months or 6 months or 8 months, I don't know when. Now, milk is not enough, but what do you want to add? Something else along with it. So now, liquid food is not sufficient. There has to be a solid food. And Scripture says, it is not enough that we drink milk to be satisfied. In order to be satisfied, we need to eat meat. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. So there is meat that is needed to eat. What is that meat? You know, something more, little more difficult. A child cannot understand. It's something that we need to grow in our feeding on God's word. Somebody keeps saying, how much ever I read, I don't understand. How much ever I read, I can understand nothing. No, that should not be there. Something else, something is wrong somewhere. Right? We need to then use some Ferrex or things like that helps us to understand that. We need to have solid food. Otherwise, we are considered to be as, what happens in our life? We'll become carnal believers. If you don't feed on meat, you will become carnal. There are three stages. We have spiritual man, natural man, and a carnal man. Who is a carnal man? Believer or not a believer? He's a believer, but he's carnal. Late Amy Cherian used to give an example about carnal. You know, he says in a house there was a parrot in a cage. And there used to be a cat in that house. This cat is always outside watching, waiting for a chance to pounce on this parrot. And this bird, after some time, you know, stretches its wing like that, and you know, little of the wing comes out. Snatch, there it snatches. The cat jumps and snatches off. That much of feathers is out. And after some time, the parrot again forgets the cat is somewhere behind. It puts this side, and the cat plucks out that feather, and then the tail goes and it plucks up. He says, eventually after some days or some months, you know, the parrot is there with lots of feathers missing around it. You know, some feathers somewhere like that. And then when a visitor comes to the home, they ask that question, is this a parrot? They look at it, what kind of a bird is this? Is this a parrot? I mean, that's a state of carnality. You know, Satan is there around us to pluck us out from every side. If you don't know the truth of God's word, if you don't have them with us, if you don't feed on God's word, if you don't eat meat, Apostle Paul says, then we become as carnal believers. So secondly, we saw that it is solid food we need to add. And thirdly, there is something called sweet food. Sweet food. It's not enough that we eat food, that it should also be enjoyable. Psalm 119 verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Isn't it? It is a sweet. God's word should be sweet to our mouth. God's word should be something that we enjoy. God's word is not something that is like a burden upon us. That we enjoy reading God's word. We enjoy meditating on God's word. We enjoy going and listening to God's word. This is something that we should be able to enjoy in our life. It should be sweet to my taste. In Psalm number 1 in verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is something that should be our delight. It is not our duty. It is not our duty. It has to be our delight to read God's word. And it should be sweet to us. Then when it is sweet to us, even if it is, you know, in Proverbs 27 verse 7, it says the But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Even if bitterness in your life, when the word of God comes, it strikes you, it smites you, it pricks you. You will be able to find the sweetness in the midst of that eating of God's word. Now he says to his prophet of old, he says, take the scroll and eat it. It was bitter, but it was sweet. And it could be bitter in our lives, but it should be as sweet, enjoyable. We should be able to take God's word. Fourthly, we should have sufficient food. Is it enough that we have milk or meat? Right? We need to, it is not enough that we eat to be satisfied. We need to eat sufficient food. It should be sufficient for us. What was enough for me when I was 2 years old is not enough for me when I am 5 years old. It's not enough when I am 10 years old. So we need to eat sufficient food. It's not enough when I read chapter 1. When I was in 5th standard, I used to read one verse. Right? When I was in 8th standard, I used to read one chapter. When I am in 10th standard, one page. When I come back to them, then it is the same thing, you know. How many pages do we read? How many chapters will we read? How long will we read? It's all now strength. After a particular stage, it's the same. Maybe now we read only 1-2 verses, you know. Just run up and go for our work. You know, it's there. I understand that. It happens in our life. Once I visited a home and I went to the washroom, and there in the washroom was kept the bread of, what is that? The daily bread. Right. At least you read the daily bread. That's some of the instruction in some place it is. If you're not able to read the Bible, at least you read the daily bread. It's only a small page, right? Fast, read it out. And that also you don't have time. We need to eat sufficiently. God's word. Psalm 81 verse 10. We consider that verse. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4. That's an important verse for us. For the Passover lamb, the Lord says to Moses, to his people, that every man according to his eating shall make the count for the lamb. According to your eating. Every home has to have a lamb. Go back home and look at that portion. Every home has to have a lamb. But if in your home there are not sufficient people to eat that lamb, then you call your neighbor and together eat. Because it says you cannot leave any portion for the morning. You have to eat it completely. You can't leave it for tomorrow. What you need to do today, you have to do it for today. What you have to eat, you have to eat. And you have to eat sufficiently according to the eating. It has to be there. So if you have many members in the home, or if you have got a bigger appetite, you better make that you choose a bigger lamb. If you have a smaller appetite, or if you have lesser people in your home, take a smaller lamb. And if the lamb that you have is big, which is more than you, then take the others into that place. Or in other words, you have to eat sufficiently. That's our day-to-day life. In order to be satisfied, we need to eat sufficiently. And fifthly, you need to eat sustaining food. Nutritious food, not just in quantum, but the quality of it. In Job 23 and verse 12, there it says, I have esteemed thy words, of the words of his mouth, more than necessary food. It is not just enough for the sufficient food. It is more than the necessary food. What does he mean? You mean that is more than a normal what you need to take. Something more nourishing has to be there. It is not enough that you eat any kind of food. You have to have food that nourishes you. It is not enough that you are satisfied with filling your belly, but there is things that are organs in your body. In order to have a growth, a growth through all your body, then you need to have various nourishments. You have to have iron, you have to have vitamin, you have to have this and that and all those things, whatever the dietitians would say. You need to have them all in order to have a complete growth. Now you remember, if you look at 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 23, there, chapter 23, there we read about the mighty men of David. There was Eliezer and Shammah, they fight against the Philistine for a plot of land. And there we read that Eliezer, he went and stood in the midst of the plot and he fought against the enemy. And what was he trying to defend there? It was a plot of barley. Alone. And then there was Shammah on the other side. He also, when the Philistines came, he stood against them single-handedly. And there we read that he stood to guard a plot that was lentils. Now, barley is a common food. That is the base food that is required. You know, that is made to make bread. It was a poor man's food. It was a basic food. But lentil is for your nourishment. It is not enough that we have barley. It is also necessary that we should be able to eat lentils. We should be able to eat. You know, that's what Esau came to Jacob. You know, when he was tired. Right? He had a pottage made. So, we need to have sustaining food. It is not enough that you have enough food. Okay, the sixth thing is strong food. It's not enough that we have sufficient food. But in order that people might be satisfied, we need to have strong food. The writer to the Hebrews, he says that when you ought to be as teachers, there was need for somebody else to teach you. Such as ye have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now you're not talking about just meat. You're talking about strong meat. And verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Strong meat. When you're fully grown adult, it is not enough whatever we considered earlier. You need to have strong meat. And what does that mean? That strong meat means the sound word and doctrines of God. The doctrines and the sound word, sound doctrines that are there in Scripture. When you look at 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, in all these places, I'm not going to go through that. There we speak about having strong food, sound doctrines. We need to teach sound doctrines. You should come to a stage, as you study God's Word, you grow in God's Word, you should come to that state when you are able to teach God's Word. And that teaching God's Word is not preaching God's Word. Every individual will be able to teach God's Word. If you go through God's Word systematically in that manner, and then you will come to a state when you are able to teach the doctrines of God. In today's assembly, what is lacking is to teach these sound doctrines. And because sound doctrines are not being taught, the assemblies, the standard of today's assemblies are going down. You might see outwardly all things taking place. You can see lots of gathering. You can see lots of event taking place. But soundness will not be there. In order to be sound, we need to have strong meat. And finally, before I close, forgive me, brothers and sisters, there is something that is called secret food. Secret food. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Those things that are revealed. The secret things belongeth to the Lord, but those things that are revealed. In other words, all things are not revealed. All things are not revealed. It is being revealed. As we study God's Word, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will shew them His covenant. In the other words, the secret of God is in His covenant. It is in His Word. It is for us, as we study God's Word, and as we grow in God's Word, and as we come to that state, then the secrets of God's Word is revealed to us from time to time. That's the thrill that will be there as we study God's Word. What a thrill it is for them that when they find these truths in God's Word, which is not known or not understood earlier, it's a great thrill and joy and rejoicing. We read in Psalm 103 verse 7, He made known His ways unto Moses. Recently a brother came and spoke, and he said like this, for 20 years I didn't have an answer for this particular matter. And after 20 years in a family altar, as we were reading God's Word, When my daughter read a particular verse, then it struck me for the last 20 years. I've been referring scripture after scripture, books after books, and I was not able to get an answer. Then I got the answer. What a thrill that would be when we are revealed the secrets of God as we study God's word. May God help us that as we study God's word, these would be those things that are true in our lives. And eventually, we would be able to lead a life that is satisfying, not only to our own self, but it would bring satisfaction to the life of others. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts.